Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. The title of our lesson tonight is simply Pressing Toward the Mark. Pressing Toward the Mark, and you probably realize that is going to be coming from our opening text. But Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul, writing to this body of believers in Philippi, says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." May I mention here, there are many things in our past life that we need to forget and move on. Guilt is a weapon of the devil, and his desire is to make us feel guilty about our past. But the fact is that if the Lord has forgiven us, then we need to move on. And he continues, "forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." Dear Heavenly Father, as Brother Rudy has already prayed for Brother Lance, Lord, we continue that thought of, Lord, be with Brother Lance and his wife as they prepare to come to Michigan to bring his mother with him also. And Lord, we just ask now that your hand would be on him. But Lord, bless this time together in the Word of God. And may we forget those things in the past that would be a weight, that would slow us down. But let us run with patience the race that is set before us, pressing toward the mark, as Paul said. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. And number one, faith like Abraham. We should desire to have faith like Abraham. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him." Without faith, it is impossible to please our Lord. And we need to have faith that God is in control. Faith that will go. Abraham was willing to go out to a place that he had never been before. He could not go to the local AAA office and say, "I need a map or a triptych so that I know which way to go." No, he simply had faith that the Lord would show him. A faith that will sacrifice. Abraham was willing to sacrifice that which was most precious to him. We know the story where he took his son and he was going to sacrifice his son. So he had faith that will go. He had faith that will sacrifice, faith that will overcome. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Our faith will give us the victory. Now, sometimes that faith will not be fully credited and fully successful until we stand before our Lord. Down through the years, hundreds, thousands, maybe even millions of believers have been martyred for their faith. I often wonder about something like that, is how strong would I be if I was watching those who were wanting to slay me were coming at me? But hopefully we would have faith that is strong, pressing toward the mark. Number two, a life of separation. A life of separation. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, "Lest I myself should be a castaway." Paul was concerned that he would do something that would ruin his testimony, that he would drift from the cause of Christ. And folks, it happens, sadly, even to pastors and missionaries who have drifted because of discouragement. They have drifted because of temptations to which they yielded. But we need a life of separation. If you would, the book of Romans, chapter 12. Familiar words, Romans chapter 12. Consecrated. We need to take our lives and give them over to the Lord. Now, I know we live in a society that says, me first, Me last, me all the time. But we need to remember something, and we're born again. Our lives need to be given over to the Lord. Easier said than done. But if you would, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Consecrated, that means devoted. Now, I am glad that you are here today, or that you're watching here today, but how devoted are we to the cause of Christ? It means to be sanctified or set apart. And we need to be set apart for the cause of Christ. Acts chapter 12, verse 2 says, separate me, Barnabas and Paul. Separate them so they could go out and do the work. And we need to be separated from the world. Now, we live in the world, but the world is not to live in us. Acts 11, 24 says, talking about Barnabas, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. A life of separation. To go out, in case of Paul and Barnabas, to go and proclaim the word of God. You know, many of our missionaries go to countries that know who Jesus is. But can you imagine going to a place where they've never heard of Jesus? That they've never heard of the need of salvation, and you've got to go there and convince them that they are sinners and that Christ died for sinners. If you would, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll begin reading at verse 9. Verse 5 down through verse 9. Peter writing, who are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom thou now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let me tell you this, when we who are believers die in the faith, we are immediately separated from sin. No longer will we be tempted by the power of sin. Well, we will have no more temptation, no more stinking thinking. Any of you on Hall Road yesterday, and the traffic was backed up for miles because of construction work they are doing over here, the other side of Van Dyke. And I guarantee you, there were some people that probably weren't very happy. Now, because I live in the area, I know how to maneuver around through the subdivisions, et cetera, and get around it. But you know, the fact is, we live in a society where many times our attitude can be twisted to do that which is wrong. But we need to be pressing toward the mark of separation. We need to be dead to the world. Let me read to you from the book of Romans, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What a blessed thought to think that someday we won't have any more stinking thinking. That we will not be under the power of temptations that come our way. And number three, we need to humble ourselves like Christ. To be humble like Christ. when reviled, he reviled not again. Philippians chapter 2, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 2. This is a good thought to have underlined there in your Bible, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2, 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." This mind, which was in Christ, we should desire to have. Isaiah 53:7, probably most of you could, if not quote it, at least paraphrase it. Let me read to you Isaiah 53:7. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted." Now, remember, he is God. "And yet he is oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." How hard is it to not say something when someone is attacking you verbally, accusing you of things that are not true? You know, oftentimes our immediate reaction is to defend ourselves and want to jump back at them, but yet Christ, well, he was willing to take it. Did that make him weak, or did it make him meek? Made him meek, right? He could have called 1,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. Can I tell you this? The devil wished he'd have called 1,000 angels and destroyed the world. He said, "Well, why?" Because all those people that had died, that had faith in a coming Messiah, would have died and gone to hell and been with him for all eternity. But because Christ was willing to die, souls have been saved. And that was why Christ endured the cross. When bidden, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. We'll begin reading at verse 7. See, to be humble sometimes is being willing to be put in second place or third place or fourth place. Notice verse 7. "And he put forth a parable to those that were bidden." Those that were what? Invited. Those that were asked to attend something, which were bidden. "When he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them," now it's a comma there, we're going to stop though for a moment, because people would come in and they would want the place that had the most honor, where people would see them. And he says, verse 8, "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when that he that bade thee cometh, he say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat for him, for thee." Where we find that Jesus is saying, we need to put others first. Verse 11, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now, we have seen people in the sporting world think they're something special because they have some talent that we don't have. Sometimes, and if you get Reader's Digest, they have points to ponder. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not really interested in what most actors and actresses in Hollywood have to say. I don't really have a whole lot of interest in a lot of people who are just making tons of money because of a certain talent. And the world, though, thinks they're special. But you know one thing I have noticed over the last few years when I have been reading the Reader's Digests that Lorraine Van Langenhoven would give to me? Not once have they had a fundamental Bible-believing pastor with a quotable quote. Are you going to tell me that there are no pastors that have something to say that the world needs to hear? And yet, they take people that they think you want to hear from. We find in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, let the younger submit to the elder. In other words, the man who has been a born-again believer should be listened to by those who have been saved a lesser amount of time. And yet Christ was very definite in this, that we must be willing to humble ourselves. Can you think of one of the epistles where Jesus was said to humble himself? That's right, the book of Philippians, where he said he humbled himself as a servant, even to the point of death. He is our example. Number four, we need to seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. I remember when I went off to college, my dad told me, get all you can all you get. Now, you can figure out what that means. When I was almost 18, it just seemed like so much talk. But the fact is, we should never stop learning, correct? We need to learn over and over. We need to learn. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 3:13. The man that findeth wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Psalm 11, verse 10. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge comes by the Spirit of God. If you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll look at verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So, you want to be intelligent in the Word of God, don't you? You want to know what the Lord has for us. Well, take your Bibles and turn to the book of James chapter 1, and see what the half-brother of Jesus had to say. James chapter 1, and we'll begin at verse 5. And it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask of God. We should seek wisdom. Proverbs 2:7 says, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Sound wisdom. One of the problems in our society today is that we are spiritually inept. We are spiritually dumb. We have no idea. Those in political places of power believe they are something special. But the fact is, if they do not have God in their lives, they are really nothing. And the same is for us. Proverbs 3:19 says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. And yet man comes along and says, we're here by chance. Man comes along and says, there was no God. We are here because of some explosion billions of years ago. But wisdom is when we realize that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Number five, boldness like Peter and John. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts chapter 4. Boldness to teach and preach. Now, I want you to realize, and I have told you this in the past, that when I stand behind the pulpit, I am out of my comfort zone. This is not really where I want to be. And so it takes a lot to get me up behind the pulpit and begin to preach at you. Boldness to testify. One of the hardest things sometimes we have to do is to tell another about Jesus Christ. Oh, we'll talk about good pizza, and we'll talk about our favorite steak restaurant. We'll talk about going on vacation. We'll talk about maybe something that we have purchased in our homes. And yet the most important thing involved is we are afraid to talk about their eternal soul. And I understand. There needs to be a boldness to go. To go. And I hope that there will be a renewed boldness to go out on visitation as our new pastor comes. That he will once again have church visitation, because one of the reasons we stopped is because we couldn't get people to go. But we need to go. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been, what? Been with Jesus. What a testimony. That they had been with Jesus. And people should realize that there is something about us that is different. So the boldness like Peter and John. Number 7, let the love of Mary be our goal. The love of Mary. In John chapter 11, verse 2, we find the words, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 26, and we need to move along quickly as the time. I'd like to take the battery out of that clock right now because I'm running out of time. But Matthew 26, beginning at verse 6. Matthew 26, 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Before we read verse 13, Mary was not at the grave with those women that went to anoint the body of Christ, for she had already anointed him. Verse 13, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. to have the love of Mary for Jesus Christ. As you turn to the book of John chapter 13, I ask this question of myself. I ask the question of those viewing. I ask the question of those that are here. How much do you love Jesus Christ? Can I tell you something? There are things I would do for Donna that I wouldn't do for the majority of you. And that's because I love her. And see, when we love someone, we love the Lord, we'll be willing to show it. John chapter 13, verse 34. We find that there is a new commandment. Do you remember what that new commandment is? Notice, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This is a mark of discipleship. All men know that ye are one of my disciples, we'll read here. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. How do you show that you are a disciple of Christ? You love the brethren. You love fellow believers. Which brings us to number 7, and sorry that I've had to rush a little bit here at the end. I had more notes than I had time. Number 7. Now, there could have been all kinds of number 7s, okay? But I've said before, you know, you want that perfect message, you have 7 points. So here's the 7th point. A home in glory. A home in glory. 1 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Can you think of anything more great than to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, you think of the places that you have been in this world. Beautiful places, elegant places, magnificent places, but none of them will compare to being with the Lord. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, but to die is what? Gain. Yes. You know, we talked about my dad's passing, and many people talked about being bittersweet. Our loss, but his gain, his gain. And then the final verse, verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, I can't prove this, but I think as they took Paul from his prison and led him to the execution room, where he kneeled down and he put his head over that wooden stump. And as the man was lifting the axe to remove his head, I think he was singing a song, because he was going home. And I can't prove that, but he may have said, as it started coming down, thank you. He left this world and was in the presence of the Lord. Pressing toward the mark. Heaven's just around the corner, folks. It's coming. And for we that are believers, what a glorious thought. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the thoughts that we could have tonight. Help us, Lord, to have love and boldness, to have faith and humility. Help us, Lord, in our daily walk to serve you faithfully. And look, Lord, we look forward to spending time in heaven with our Savior, with our Creator, with the Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.